Spieth. I'm the senior pastor here at Christ Church. And as always, it is just a joy to be gathered with all of you as we come together to worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I trust that all of you had a safe and happy 4th of July weekend. So I do want to say happy 4th of July to all of you as we come together and celebrate the birth of our nation. This morning, as we gather together to worship Jesus, if you got our newsletter, or if you are on Facebook, you can see a link. There is a link to our liturgy and to our bulletin for today. I want to encourage you, if you haven't already done that, to go ahead and download that liturgy. It'll help you to just follow along and participate in our worship service today. My only other announcement that I have this morning is that today, like we've done the last several weeks, is after our service today, we are going to be doing a drive-up communion. That's going to be from noon to 1:30 today, right here under the carport. I want to invite you out to come and to receive communion. And if you're comfortable, bring a lawn chair and stay and hang out with us a little bit. It'd be great just to spend some time in fellowship outside. It's going to be a beautiful day today. And so that's from noon to 1:30, drive-up communion. So, friends, now let's turn our attention to the Lord, and let's begin our worship service by blessing our Lord together. Blessed be God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and blessed be His kingdom, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Together, let us pray. Almighty God, to You all hearts are open, all desires known. And from You no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of Your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love You and worthily magnify Your holy name. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen. Live for me, let me hide myself in thee, let the water and the blood from thy womb inside which flow, be of silver, dove of gold, save from breath and make me to thy cross I cling, naked come to thee for grace, thou best look to thee for grace, and I believe therefore let me hide myself in thee. Thank you. Teach my song to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay.
Reading this morning comes from Psalm 121. I lift my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper, the shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in, from this time forth and forevermore. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our New Testament lesson this morning comes from Romans chapter 7, starting in verse 21. Through Romans chapter 8, verse 6. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God, in my inner being, but I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and the law of death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Matthew. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Our gospel reading comes from Matthew chapter 11, starting in verse 25. At that time, Jesus declared, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. And no one knows the Father except the Son and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. Friends, let's pray together. Father, as we come to your word, Father, we pray that you would show us Jesus today, that you would show us that Jesus is the one who is leading us through every trial, through every mountain that we face. Father, we thank you for your gracious love and your grace and your merciful guidance of us. Open our ears, open our minds, open our hearts to receive all that you would have for us this morning through your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, friends, one of my heroes of the faith is St. Patrick. Now, normally when we think of St. Patrick, we tend to think of all the legends about him, of how he drove the snakes out of Ireland and how he used the shamrock, the three-leaf clover, to explain the doctrine of the Trinity. But you know, Patrick's life was incredibly fascinating. Patrick was born in England around 400 AD, and Patrick's father was a deacon. His grandfather was a priest, and so he grew up in the church, but he didn't really, at least in his early years, he didn't really care too much for religion. He didn't really care too much for church or for God. Well, that was at least until he turned 16 and his life took a very unexpected turn. See, around age 16, Patrick was kidnapped and he was taken to Ireland and he was sold into slavery. And for about 6 years, he was forced to tend sheep. He became an enslaved shepherd. And he did that for about 6 years until he was able to escape and eventually return home. Well, then another unexpected thing happened in Patrick's life. Patrick had a vision that God was calling him to return to Ireland and to return to the very people who enslaved him in order to preach the gospel to them. Now, he resisted at first, but eventually he went and he became a missionary to Ireland. Well, and at that time, Ireland was a very hostile place. It was a place that was full of a lot of turmoil. There were all these warring tribes and warring kings, and it was just overrun by kind of pagan druid religions. And so Patrick goes to this hostile place in order to preach the gospel. Now, of course, he's going to face all kinds of trials and all kinds of oppositions. But for 29 years, he was a missionary to Ireland and preached the gospel. And for 29 years, in the middle of all of this opposition and warring tribes and trials, he established churches. He established hundreds of churches. He established hundreds of monasteries. It's said that he personally baptized over 200,000 people. And eventually, he was able to unite Ireland around the gospel. And eventually Ireland, years later, would be the one to send out missionaries back into Europe in order to save European civilization from complete collapse. Now, all of this was because Patrick trusted God. See, Patrick had no idea that this was going to be the outcome or that God was going to do all of this stuff through his life. but he trusted God. And that trust, that was his source of strength. That was his source that kept him focused on everything, or kept him focused on God, even in the midst of everything that he faced. And you know where that trust began to develop in St. Patrick? During his time as an enslaved shepherd. See, God redeemed Patrick's enslavement by meeting him right in the middle of his trial. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that Patrick's enslavement was a good thing, but it does mean that God met him and redeemed it and used it for his glory. See, during that time, Patrick learned to pray, and he learned how to pray very fervently. In fact, Patrick himself, he wrote this. He said, "In a single day, I would say as many as 100 prayers, and in the night, nearly the same, so that I remained in the woods and on the mountains, and even before dawn, I was roused to prayer. In snow and ice and rain, I felt no injury from it, nor was there any slothfulness in me." And he says, that was because the Holy Spirit was fervent in me. See, Patrick is on a journey that he didn't ask for, but Patrick knew, and Patrick learned where to ask for help and where to look for help. And it was that simple cry for help that changed his life and changed, really, the lives of an entire nation. Now, today we're going to look at Psalm 121. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn with me to Psalm 121. It's a psalm that teaches us where to look and who to cry out to for help on our own journeys. Now, last week we began a series looking at the Psalms of Ascent. And these psalms were songs that were sung and prayers that were prayed by Jewish pilgrims as they traveled up to Jerusalem for the yearly festivals. But last week I encouraged us that these prayers, these Psalms of Ascent, are also prayers for our own life and our own journeys of faith, because they give us strength, and they give us encouragement, and they keep our eyes focused on God along the way. And so I think Psalm 121 is actually a great psalm for us today, because, you see, our psalmist, we find him on the road. He's already left where he was, and he's not quite to his destination yet. And he's on the road, and he understands that there's all kinds of potential dangers that lie ahead. And so we find ourselves today in the middle of a pandemic, in the middle of a society that's being torn apart by hate and division. And I think that Psalm 121 actually has a lot of truths for us. So let's turn there, if you're not already, Psalm 121, and let's read together, starting in verse 1. It says, "I lift my eyes up to the hills. From where does my help come?" Let's stop there. Our psalmist is on a journey, and he understands that he's going to need assistance along the way. So then, why then is he looking to the hills? Well, there's a couple different ways that we can understand what he's saying here. See, Israel is a very hilly country, and as you're traveling to the temple and to Jerusalem, you're going to look around, and you're going to see the terrain all around you. But there's mountains. You're going to know that that terrain is rough. It's actually pretty treacherous. It's uneven terrain. Also, it's uphill the entire way, and so you're going to need extra strength if you're going to make it to the end of your journey. The roads on the mountains are winding, and so if you don't know where you're going, it's easy to get lost. More than that, there's places for robbers and bandits to hide. In fact, that's why you would always travel by caravan. You tried never to travel alone, because you expected robbers to come upon you and ambush you along the way. Now, that's one way to read the verse. Another way to read the verse is to think about our psalmist traveling. Maybe he's not to Jerusalem just yet. Maybe he's traveling from the foreign land that he lives in. And the foreign land has its own hills and its own false gods. Now, when he's traveling, he's looking up to the hills, and what would he see on top of the hills? But he would see pagan temples. See, temples were always built on the top of the hills. Now, one of the reasons why you would even visit a pagan temple was to ask for help from some certain god. Maybe you were a farmer and you wanted a good harvest, Maybe you were trying to have a baby, and so you would visit the temple of the fertility god. Or maybe you were on a journey, and so you would visit the god of the road or the weather so that your journey would be safe and would be easy. You would go and you would pay them homage, and they would therefore hopefully give you help for your harvest or your journey. And so our psalmist might be on a journey through pagan lands, and he's looking up and he's seeing all these idols and all these temples to false gods. And you know what those temples are doing? They're offering him help. Just come and give us a bit of homage, just one act of worship, and we'll help you. See, Jesus faced a similar trial in the wilderness, where Satan came to him and said, "Look, all the nations of the world, I can give them to you. All you got to do is just worship me. Just one simple act of homage, and I'll give you all the help you need." Friends, where do you look for help? See, there's so many things in life that want to offer us help. But when you look around and you find yourself in the middle of a pandemic, when you find yourself in the middle of confusing times, where do you look? Now, sometimes we look to ourselves. Sometimes our own selfish heart is calling us to say, "Hey, no, no, no! You're all that you need." See, we live in a culture that upholds kind of rugged individualism—the belief that you can pull yourself up by the bootstraps and take responsibility and just put your head down and trudge forward. Now, I'm all for taking responsibility, but the problem is that we were never meant to journey alone, especially on our journey of faith. It was never meant to be lived individually, but communally. See, when we're saved, we're placed into the body of Christ so that we can build each other up and so that we can encourage each other and we can love each other and help each other along the way. But looking to ourselves, well, that comes from a place of pride. And all pride does is it just tries to hide our insecurities. Pride tries to hide the truth of our own frailty. So where do you look for help? Do you look to yourself? Do you look to others for help? Now, I just said that God gives us others, gives us companions along the way to give us help in our time of need. And it's true that we do need wise people in our life, people who are wise in the ways of the Lord and in the truth of God, people who are fervent in prayer and whose hearts are turned to Jesus and who are softened by the Spirit. So I certainly want to uphold the truth of godly companionship. At the same time, we want to be careful we don't place our ultimate trust in the people around us, because our traveling companions are just as weak and frail as we are. We do go to them in our times of need, and sometimes they come to us in their times of need. But you know what? Sometimes our well-intentioned friends can be like Job's friends and just be bearers of really bad advice. Sometimes our friends can turn into an echo chamber and just be people who tell us just what we want to hear. Sometimes our friends can even turn on us and hurt us. Sometimes our friends can lead us astray. Friends, where do you look for help? Do you look to the government? Do you look to political pundits and news outlets? Do you look to Facebook? Friends, in our trials and in our times of need, we do look around, and believe me, there are plenty of modern-day pagan temples that are all along the way that offer us help. We've got self-help books, political parties, you name it. These are modern-day pagan temples that offer us help and guidance for the journey. But you know what? It always comes at a price. And it's rarely ever helpful. Our psalmist today, he tells us that on our journey, if all we're doing is just looking around at the scenery, well, friends, we're not looking high enough. We're not looking high enough. Verse 2, "My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth." He says, "I look to the hills, but my help comes ultimately from the one who made the hills." See, hills are impressive, but hills have their source in something that is greater than them. It reminds me of Psalm 46. I love Psalm 46, where it says, "Our God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in times of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though the waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. Look, all of these things are impressive, but these things, in and of themselves, are not stable. They're not stable. Only God is our source of stability. Only God is stronger than the seemingly immovable mountains in our life. Friends, does the pandemic seem like an immovable mountain that is here to stay forever? Does it seem like all the hatred and the division that's in our society, that it's insurmountable? What about the sickness in your life? What about the broken relationships? What about your financial issues? What about your sicknesses, your loneliness, your depression? What about those sins in your life that you just can't seem to shake? Do those things seem to be immovable mountains in your life? Friends, we need to remember that only God is everlasting. Only God is everlasting. Only God is stable. See, when we look at the mountains in our life, they should force our gaze even higher to the one who is bigger than the mountains. I lift my eyes up to the hills. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of all the mountains, the maker of heaven and earth. Now, from this point on in the psalm, our psalmist begins to describe various aspects of God's identity and who God is for us. Don't miss the fact that that the psalmist calls God the Lord. See, every time you read your scriptures, especially your Old Testament, and you see Lord in all capital letters, that's an indication that he's using the personal, holy name of God, Yahweh. See, at the burning bush, God tells Moses to go and release Israel from their captivity. And he says, tell them this, that the Lord, Yahweh, that the Lord, the God of your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has sent me to you. See, that name means something like he is or he exists. What Psalm 121 wants us to know is that, and the truth to keep before us is that God is our source of life. And if God created us and is our source of life, then God is the one who knows how to sustain us. Yahweh is the covenant-keeping God. He's the one who keeps his promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and even to you. He's the one who keeps his promises. He's the one who is always faithful. See, the name of God is important for us to remember because the mountains that we face have this way of causing us to forget who God is. See, they can make us think that maybe God isn't strong enough. You see, God is our source of life, and the Creator is always greater than the creation. Trials can blind our vision and can make us think that maybe God has abandoned us. But Psalm 121 reminds us that God keeps his promises, that he will never leave us nor forsake us. And as Christians, we believe that Jesus will one day return. And when he returns, he will set all things right and make all things new. That's the Christian hope. That's the Christian hope. You know, I look around at the world and I often pray, how long, O Lord? Come, Lord Jesus. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. And you know what? I encourage you to pray those as well. Those are good prayers to pray, as long as they don't come from a place of despair. Those prayers come from a place of lament, of deep sorrow, of looking around the world and saying, things are not the way that they're supposed to be. But Christian lament is always laced with hope. Christian lament is always laced with hope. It's laced with the hope that God is the God who keeps his promises, and that he's always faithful. I love verse 4. It's at verse 4 in Psalm 121 says this, behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. See, the ancient gods, the ancient false gods, were thought to fall asleep pretty regularly, and actually pretty easily, to get bored really easily. And so if you ever wanted their help, you would have to go and do the right rituals to wake them up so that they might help you. In fact, that scene where Elijah confronts the false prophets of Baal. That's what he mocks them for. He says, your gods are asleep. That's why they're not offering you any help. Your gods don't care about you. Do you realize that God does not get bored with you? Do you realize that? Do you ever think of that? Now, maybe you don't use those exact terms, but have you ever thought, well, you know, God's got more important things to do. Maybe he's got the entire world to run. And so, why does he care about the trivial things in my life? Friends, you know, that's actually a lie that we tell ourselves to try to explain why we might be dealing with some type of trouble. Friends, God does not get bored with you. You are precious to him. He numbers even the hairs on your head. Verse 8 says that he guards your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. That means that he is always intimately involved in your life, in all the details of your life, the big details and the small details. God does not get bored with you. God loves you. But you see, the mountains that we face in life can sometimes make us question that truth. Now, all throughout the rest of Psalm 21, the psalmist identifies God as our keeper. If you're using a different translation than the ESV, your translation may say that God is the one who watches over you, or it might use the word guardian, or the one who guards you. This particular Hebrew word, it encompasses all of that, and he uses it like 8 times in this particular psalm, and so he's really trying to tell us something. The idea is that God is a watchman. That God is a guardian, that God is your keeper. The best image is that of a shepherd, right? A shepherd watches over its flock, and it can see when danger is coming, and so it can preemptively protect it from hungry wolves. A shepherd can also tell when its sheep need to be fed or when they are sick, and so a shepherd knows how to care for and provide for its flock so that it might flourish. In the same way, God watches over you. He watches over you on your journey of faith to guard you, to provide for you, so that your life in Christ might flourish. Well, then our psalmist, he begins to highlight all the various ways that God guards us and keeps us. And for the sake of time, I just want to briefly mention a few of these. So verse 3, he says, God will not let your foot be moved. Think of this as God guarding you from below. God guarding you from below. He guards your every step. Now, this doesn't mean that you're not going to twist your ankle along the way. What it means is that God will keep you on the path and make sure that you reach the destination, which is his very presence. Verse 5, it says, the Lord is our keeper. The Lord is a shade at your right hand. Think of this as God guarding you on all sides. See, the right hand is a symbol of everlasting strength. And it's a symbol of nearness. The one who guards you and walks with you on the path. Psalm 16, verse 8, gets at this really well. It says, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Verse 11 of Psalm 16 says, O Lord, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy, and at your right hand there is pleasures forevermore. Verse 6 says, the sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. Think of this as God guarding you from above. He's covering you as a shade from the elements and from the scorching sun and from all the harm that can come from all of the elements. I love this verse, and I think one of the most interesting parts of it for me is the idea of he will guard you. That the moon will not strike you by night, that he guards you from the moon. See, Jewish travelers used to believe that you needed rest. And if you kept journeying too long into the night, that you would suffer from emotional exhaustion. Friends, on this journey, particularly where we find ourselves, are you emotionally exhausted? That's what he's talking about. He's keeping you from emotional exhaustion. In fact, the word is actually he'll keep you from moonstroke, keep you from sunstroke and moonstroke. And the word moonstroke is where we get our word for lunacy. In other words, on your journey, God keeps you from going crazy. I love that. And isn't that a wonderful truth? Do you feel in on this journey right now that you're going crazy? I know I do sometimes, but God is going to shelter us even from the emotional exhaustion of going crazy. I love that. I love that truth. Psalm 121 tells us that God guards you everywhere. He guards you above, all around you. He guards you from even below and even from inside of you. Even inside of you. Verse 7, it says, the Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. Now, I'll admit that's probably one of the more difficult verses if we don't understand what he's saying. Because he's not saying that you're not going to get hurt, that you're not going to suffer at all along the way. That's not what he's saying. See, some translations, depending if you're using, I think, an NIV or something like that, it might actually say that God will keep you from all hurt or all harm. Well, the Hebrew word there is, it can be translated as harm or evil, but it doesn't just mean the problems that we face in life. What he's talking about is the evil in the world that gets inside of us, that takes up residence in our hearts and in our souls, the evil that seeks to destroy our life, that seeks to steal our life, like it says in the New Testament, that our enemy, the evil one, comes to kill, steal, and destroy. See, our enemy does try to destroy us along the way, and he does it by trying to tempt us to find our trust in anything other than God. See, in all the sins and in all the trials of the world, our enemy wants to convince us that God is just not able to keep us from stumbling or from falling. Or he tries to convince us that God is just not able to keep us or to fulfill his promises. And so he tempts us to go back and ask the question, from where does my help come from? Friends, I want to encourage you this morning that when we are tempted to sin or we are tempted to despair, let me encourage you to go ahead and look back at the mountains. But look back at a specific mountain. Look back to Mount Calvary and to the cross that stands victoriously above the mountain. And then let your gaze go even higher to the throne of heaven and to the risen Savior who sits on the throne ruling all things. See, Jesus, by faith, gives us victory over sin, over evil, and over death. And Jesus is able to bring us to where he is, to the intimate presence. I love the great doxology at the end of Jude where it says, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of the glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, Jesus Christ, be glory and majesty and dominion and authority before all time and now and forevermore. Amen. Amen. Friends, God guards us on all sides. The Spirit living in us guards us from the evil within us. Christ within us guards us from the evil one. God guards us from all sides. He guards us from below, from above, and all around, and even within us. And friends, this is the truth that in all of his trials that St. Patrick came to understand. In fact, he wrote a great prayer that gets at this very truth. St. Patrick once wrote, he prays, Christ be with me. Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ in me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ on my right and Christ on my left, Christ when I lie down, Christ when I sit, Christ when I arise. I think that sums up Psalm 121 pretty well. Friends, as we face the mountains that we face, I want to encourage you that on this journey today and going forward, that you pray Psalm 121. That you pray it, not just for yourself, but I want to encourage you to pray it over your children. To pray it over your friends. Pray it over your spouse. Pray it over your family. prayed over your church. Because this is, Psalm 121 is the truth that God is with us on our journey and that he will guide us and he will guard us and that he will keep us. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, friends, let us confess our faith in this God who is able to keep us in the words of the Nicene Creed. Together, we believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, of all that is visible and invisible. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Amen. Friends, in the power of the Spirit and in union with Christ, let us pray to the Father. For the peace of the whole world and for the well-being and unity of the people of God, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For Foley, our Archbishop, for Steve, David, Thad, Terrell, our bishops, and for all the clergy and people of our diocese and our congregation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For all those who proclaim the gospel at home and abroad, for all who teach and disciple others, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For our nation, for those in authority, and for all in public service, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For those who are in trouble, sorrow, need, sickness, or any other adversity, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And now let us humbly confess our sins to Almighty God. Praying together. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we might delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who in his great mercy promised forgiveness of sins to all those who sincerely repent and turn to him with true faith, may he have mercy upon you. May he pardon and deliver you from all your sins. May he strengthen and confirm you in all goodness and bring you to everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Now, friends, may the peace of the Lord be always with you and also with you. Please exchange the peace with someone who is near to you.
Darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus, you silence fear, Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus. Breathe, call these bones to live, call these lungs to sing once again. I will praise Jesus, Jesus. You make the darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus. You silence fear, Jesus, Jesus. You make the darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus. Your name is a light that shadows can't deny. Your name cannot be overcome. Your name is alive, forever lifted high. Your name cannot be overcome. Jesus, Jesus. Darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus. Silence fear, Jesus, Jesus. You make the darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus. Your name is a light, shadows can't deny. Your name cannot be overcome. Your name is alive, forever lives and high. Your name cannot be overcome. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, silence me. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus.
Friends, as we come to the table of the Lord be with you. Also with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give him thanks and praise. It is right and our duty and our joy always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father, creator of heaven and earth. For you are the source of light and life. You made us in your image and called us to new life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with angels and with archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy, 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 Lord God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love, you made us for yourself. And when we had sinned against you and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent your only Son, Jesus Christ, into the world for our salvation. By the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, he became flesh and dwelt among us. In obedience to your will, he stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself once for all, that by his suffering and death we might be saved. By his resurrection, he broke the bonds of death, trampling hell and Satan under his feet. And as our great high priest, he ascended to your right hand in glory, that we might come with confidence before the throne of grace. On the night that he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus Christ, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Whenever you eat it, do so in remembrance of me." Likewise, after supper, Jesus took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you, for this is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do so in remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of our faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. And we celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. And here we offer to you these gifts. Sanctify them by your word and by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Sanctify us also, that we may worthily receive this holy sacrament and be made one body with him, that he may dwell in us and we in him. And in the fullness of time, put all things into subjection under your Christ, and bring us with all your saints into the joy of your heavenly kingdom, where we shall see our Lord face to face. All of this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ, together, by him, and with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Alleluia. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. Alleluia. For those who are unable to be present this afternoon and to come and to receive, whether it's by conscience or whether it's because of you're just physically unable to come, pray with me this prayer of spiritual communion so that you too may receive the grace of the Holy Sacrament. Together, let us pray. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are truly present in the Holy Sacrament. I love you above all things. And I desire to possess you within my soul. And since I cannot now receive you sacramentally, I beseech you to come into my heart. I unite myself to you, together with all your faithful people gathered around every altar of your church. And I embrace you with all the affections of my soul. Never permit me to be separated from you. Friends, these are the gifts of God for you, the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith and with thanksgiving.
Mover of mountains, breaker of chains, Jesus has triumphed over the grave. Sing hallelujah, the battle is won. Nothing can stand against our God. Dark tried to hide you and steal you away. Death tried to keep you inside of the grave. The enemy fought you, he tried but he lost. You cannot be stopped. When we cried for freedom, you tore down the walls. The weight of our burdens, you carried it all. Our fears and our failures hang dead on the cross. You cannot be stopped. Over mountains, mover of mountains, breaker of chains, Jesus has triumphed over the grave. Sing hallelujah, the battle is won. Nothing can stand against our God. We stand on your victory. We shout out your praise. Miracle maker, you're mighty to save. Awesome in power, relentless in love. You cannot be stopped. Mover of mountains, breaker of chains, Jesus has triumphed over the grave. Sing hallelujah, the battle is won. Nothing can stand against our more time of faith. Breaker of mountains, breaker of chains, Jesus has triumphed over the grave. Sing hallelujah, the battle is won. Nothing can stand against our God. Nothing can stand against our God.
Friends, just before the blessing, again, let me remind you that we are doing drive-up communion today from noon to 1:30. And especially, maybe you are someone who found us online during this pandemic. I would love for you to come and receive communion. I would love to meet with you and have you join into the fellowship of our church this afternoon. That'd be a great way for us to be able to get to know you a little bit. But come and fellowship with us and hang out for a little bit from between noon and 1:30. Also, I want to remind you that we are doing our 242 prayer gathering on Zoom on Wednesday night at 6:30, and the link is in the newsletter for that. Well, friends, receive this blessing. All our problems we send to the cross of Christ. All our difficulties we send to the cross of Christ. All the devil's works we send to the cross of Christ. and all our hopes we set on the risen Christ. May Christ, the Son of Righteousness, shine upon you and scatter the darkness from before your path. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, be among you and remain with you always. Amen. Amen. Alleluia, alleluia. Let us go forth into the world rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. Thanks be to God. Alleluia.